There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to the Grill Broadcasting live from Barasti Rooftop Garden. Get involved in the show. You can text us on 4001 by having your say. You are listening to us here on Dubai Eye 103.8. 4001 for your thoughts, or equally have your say on the Twitter sphere at Dubai Eye Sport or at Dubai Eye 103.8 FM. What have we got for you? 3 hours between 3 and 6, all sport from around the globe. We have got games in the Premier League. Southampton against Chelsea is your early kickoff. Palace against Brighton is our live game from 6 o'clock this evening when we go off air. You've got Liverpool against Bournemouth as a late one, and a bonus one for you later on as well. It is Spurs against City. That's a late kickoff in the Premier League. We've got an early in Spain, so plenty for football fans out there. There's rugby aplenty on both sides of the equator. The Commonwealth Games comes to a conclusion, and we've got all the latest from the worlds of golf, of cricket, of tennis and more. So keep it locked here on Dubai 103.8. Do have your say, as always. As I said, text us on 4001.
Oh, it's a fabulous goal!
This is The Grill, live from Barasti, with more sport, the latest headlines, and top debate on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Good to have you listening. Thanks very much indeed for tuning in. As I said, we're live all the way through till 6 o'clock this evening, so do make sure you have your say. How do you do that? You text us now on 4001, you send us a tweet, or better still, come on down to Barasti. Yes, it might be a public holiday. Yes, there might be a dry day out there as well, but Barasti is heaving. The beach is packed down there at the moment, so plenty of activity to be had down here at Barasti. And if you are passing, do come up and say hi. As I said, we broadcast from the highest point down here at Barasti, up on the rooftop garden. We have got the Grill panel to talk you through the next 3 hours of sporting intrigue. Paul Espy has joined us this afternoon. Thanks so much indeed for your time this afternoon.
Thank you very much, Tom. Pleasure to be here as ever.
We'll give it your thoughts on all things sport in just a few moments' time. Premier League is obviously going to be one of our major focuses. Southampton against Chelsea kicks off in just a few moments' time, at 1:30 the hour, so we'll have all the latest from that one. Palace against Brighton is your late kickoff, is your 6 o'clock kickoff, and that is our feature game here on Dubai Eye 103.8. You'll have live commentary of that one. You'll also have commentary of Liverpool against Bournemouth, and then Spurs against City is a Brucey bonus for you later on this evening. Mark Archer is alongside us as well, not just the football to look forward to, Arch. Plenty of other sports.
Afternoon, Tom. Afternoon, Paul. And afternoon, listeners. Yes, IPL doubleheader Saturday. Early action from Mumbai taking on the Delhi Daredevils. Both teams have lost their first two matches and they don't want to lose three. So it's a big match in the first match today. I'll give you a quick score update. Mumbai Indians are batting first, 90 without loss. Off to a flyer, 7.3 of their 20 overs gone. Yadav on 45, not out. Lewis, the West Indian, 39, not out. So Mumbai Indians, 90 without loss. That's the early match from Wankhede Stadium. The late match in the IPL is at Eden Gardens, Calcutta. It's the Knight Riders facing Sunrisers Hyderabad. But so much sport today, Tom. We've got Formula One Grand Prix qualifying concluded a couple of hours ago over in China. Fantastic race last week end in Bahrain. To recap, we've got lots of rugby union action, domestic leagues in Europe and in Super Rugby. PGA Tour, the first major of the year, was completed last weekend, and the American Patrick Reed, well, he's won himself a green jacket. NBA playoffs gets underway in the early hours of tomorrow. We'll give you a breakdown of which teams made the playoffs, who to look out for in that, and all the sport down under. NRL, AFL, it's all coming, Tom.
Let's get the thoughts of the boys on a couple of the big stories of the week. And this time last week, Arch and I and others were sat around this table looking ahead to, well, we're watching one derby. We're looking ahead to another derby as well. The Manchester derby is obviously has been talked about much since last weekend because it lived up to the billings. Has there ever been, fellas, a game, I know we use this phrase time and time again, a game of two halves, but a game with two completely different halves?
I mean, obviously, as a Liverpool fan, the first match that springs to mind was AC Milan versus us in 2005. I mean, we got killed for the first half, and they obviously came back. I wouldn't even say it was two halves. I think we had a 20-minute blip where we were pretty awesome, I watched that match, the Manchester derby. Obviously, I had a bit of a sort of pull towards City, but I have to say, all respect in the world to United. They were incredible in that second half, and actually, by the time it was 2-2, I wanted them to win because the way that they were playing, just the style, the fact that Pogba's been just ripped apart for so long now, and he was awesome. Yeah, good on them. I mean, yeah, it's ruined Liverpool's chances of finishing second. But in the process of doing that, it was a phenomenal match. It got the City team down, it seems, for the Champions League, and Liverpool benefited from that.
There've been all sorts of stories coming out of this one, Arch. None more so than Ashley Young, the much maligned Ashley Young, who has been reinvented really in recent seasons up at Manchester United. Not only has he earned himself an England recall, he looks like he might be a shoo-in for the World Cup this year with England, but also I understand that he gave the halftime match talk in the changing room. He was the one that inspired the players, by all accounts.
It was an amazing game because I watched this at halftime. I was pretty happy to switch the TV off and go and do the ironing. But you just had to keep watching. It was compelling viewing. Once Pogba got the first goal, you think momentum shifts, change, and then he got the second goal. And then you can only really see a United victory. But then Aguero came on. Great save by De Gea. It had a bit of everything. But not just that match, Tom. What a week of football we've seen. What amazing results throughout the Champions League, throughout the second leg match, the Man City Liverpool match, where we all talked about who got the early goal. It could go either way. Every result was possible. We wrote off on Sports Tonight. Well, Robbie Greenfield wrote off the Barcelona match and what happened there. And then we had that amazing Juventus Real Madrid comeback match as well. It's been a week of high drama on the football front, and it's been great. Actually,
it's going to be interesting to see how Manchester City bounce back. They've got a late kickoff today against Spurs on the back of three defeats, which was unheard of for a Man City team that we've just come to expect to score goals and get results.
Greatest team in Premier League history a week ago.
That's what we were saying. Three defeats on the bounce. The place you don't want to be going to try and bring an end to that is Wembley to play Spurs in the form they're in at the moment.
It's going to be a very interesting time, actually, for City because, you know, they lose this, if they lose the match against Tottenham, you know, what's that going to do for the morale in the team? Yeah, you know, that would be four on the bounce, and United, we assume, are going to win the next match. I know it's very unlikely, but that takes it to 9 points, 9 points difference. And I don't know, there's something about how I believe they capitulated against Liverpool that makes me think, hang on, are these youngsters, because it's such a young team, are these youngsters ready to take on board just how good these guys really are?
The one thing we talked about in Sports Tonight during the week, and I sort of, looking back at Manchester City, and don't take anything away from what they've achieved this season, they've played the best football in the Premier League throughout the season, they've been the best team in the Premier League and one of the best teams in Europe. I don't think we debate that. But when you look at them now, and it's easy to sort of criticise or find some areas of that they are still lacking in, the one thing I pointed to was leadership. Who is the player or players that really stand up when they're under pressure? Who is the, and I'll drop a few names in there, the Roy Keane from Manchester United, who is the Steven Gerrard from Liverpool, who is the Patrick Vieira from Arsenal days, who is the one guy that takes the team forward when all things aren't looking so good around them? And I can't find that figure. Vincent Kompany has done it to a degree, but he's missed a lot of the season. Injury, you know, subject to fitness. I don't think he's been ever present on the field, but he's towards the end of his career. Who are the young guys who are going to hold that team when they do find times tough, like they've had in the last week? Who takes the game by the scruff of the neck and takes City forward? They're extremely talented, world-class talents across the park, but who is the guy who throughout is just going to grab them by the shirt and take them forward? And that's what I still don't see that in that team yet.
I think that would have been somebody like Toure, wouldn't it, originally? But at the moment, I think I agree with you. I mean, you look at David Silva. Is he the type of player to do that? I very much doubt it. Then you've got Fernandinho. I don't know. Aguero, certainly not. So you're right. And who'd have thought that Ashley Young would have been that person for United? Because I definitely would never have called that. I thought he was one of the most overrated players of all time. Yeah. And here he is, probably, well, do I dare say, probably England's best left back at the moment.
The other thing I noticed during the week is obviously the leadership point was the discipline. When things weren't going well for City in the second half against United, and then in the latter stages of the game at the second leg against Liverpool, their discipline fell away. Pep Guardiola lost it, got sent to the stands for having a bit of a row with the ref at half time. There was a lot of cynical fouls, a lot of even, you'd say, dirty fouls, you know, just aimed to foul players. There was a lot of yellow cards came out. And they just lost their discipline, they lost the leadership, and that's the one thing. If you can find a fault with this Man City team, you know, a week ago they were the greatest team in Premier League history, you know, I've just pointed out two things I think they need to improve on.
Interesting though, because I suppose, you know, there's not many criticisms you can level at Pep Guardiola, but if there is one, it is this inability for him to deal with loss. I mean, he's a winner all costs man, and when things aren't going his way, when he's getting the losses to his name or his team's name, he doesn't seem to be able to compute that and equate that and learn from those losses.
I don't know. I think he does it certainly better than Mourinho's ever done it. So I thought he was quite respectful. I mean, again, as we all know, I'm a big Liverpool fan. City were robbed. I'll be the first to admit it. They had a goal disallowed in the first leg. They had a goal disallowed in the second leg, which were clearly goals. And I'm sorry, but that would have a major effect on anybody. So, and the first Salah goal was offside. So, you know, I can understand to a point, but the other side of the coin is that, like you said, a week ago, for me, they were the greatest team since sliced bread. Obviously a great team. But, you know, better than the United 99 team, better than any team, better than the Invincibles. But the truth be known, they've just been an excellent team in what's turned out to be kind of an average season of other teams. You know, who'd have thought that Mo Salah would have been up for the Player of the Year award at the beginning of the season? I mean, is it because he's been so fantastic, or has it actually been kind of a dull and dreary season because City have been so much stronger? But dare I say, I'm with you on this. They are definitely not the greatest Premier team of all time.
Well, I mean, but then, you know, if they go and win every single game from now in the run-in to the end, then does that put them back up? You know, this is just a bit of blip. As you say, a couple of decisions went against them. I mean, you know, as much as we start talking about the 9 points and the what-ifs, and that they're going to win the Premier League, aren't they? Whether they do it...
They won the Premier League in December. It was done. It was done and dusted. Yeah, I thought it was they were far ahead. They will be on site. It was over.
If it's at Wembley this weekend, or if it's up at Etihad against Swansea next weekend, at some point they're going to take the title, aren't they? So, does this run of form reflect badly on them? We can't look at this City team and this City season and call it a bad season, is it?
Well, no. But I think. As usual, it's with everything in life at the moment, isn't it? Everything's got to be the greatest. Look at Messi, Ronaldo, Federer, Nadal, obviously from my side of the sports. You know, everyone has to think that this is the greatest match, this is the greatest player, and instead of actually just respecting the fact that at this moment in time, yeah, they are the best, they have to compare to previous generations. And I mean, I'm all for the Invincibles personally. When it comes to that, I always think, well, no one else has done it. No one else has gone through a season unbeaten. So you've got to give them the credit. Yes, they lost in other competitions, but you know, if it ever came to that, but have City taken the game to a different level? Well, I don't think they have. I just think that, you know, Barcelona did it with the ticky-tap stuff, and then now we're just waiting for somebody for another team to take something else and come up with a different style that we're all really impressed with. And I don't think that City has been that team.
Your thoughts, please, would be appreciated. You can text them to us now on 4001. Better still, come on down here to Barasti. We're broadcasting The Grill live from the rooftop garden up here on top of Barasti, looking down on a packed beach out there. And we've got football on the big screen as well, so make sure you head on down. Premier League action coming your way at 5:30. Already we've got the semi-final in the Scottish Cup has just got underway. And there's live down in Spain as we speak, so I'll bring you updates after this.
This is The Grill. Get involved with the show. Text 4001 or message us for free on the Dubai Eye Messenger app.
Yeah, good to have you on board. You're listening to The Grill. We're broadcasting live from Barasti. A game on the big screen. Motherwell against Aberdeen. What this be? It's the semi-final of the Scottish Cup early kickoff up in Scotland. We're 4.5 minutes into this one and no goals as yet. So I'll keep an eye on that one for you. As we will, the early kickoff down in Spain as well, where Sevilla taking on Villarreal. That one's been underway for the last 20 minutes or so. Kicked off on the hour and no goals in that either. Barcelona in action against Valencia, that one kicking off at 6:15 local time here in the UAE. Then later on this evening at 8:30, Las Palmas against Real Sociedad, Leganes take on Celta Vigo, and Athletic Bilbao against Deportivo La Coruña is the late kickoff, that one off at 10:15. 45. Games kicking off in Italy from 5 o'clock this evening. Early in Italy is Cagliari against Udinese, and then at 8 o'clock you've got Chievo against Torino, Genoa against Crotone, and Atalanta against Inter Milan is your 10:45 kickoff. German Bundesliga will be underway before we go off air as well at 5:30 this evening, so stay tuned for that one. We'll keep you up to date with all the goals and all the early kickoffs. Also action from France as well. Lyon against Amiens is what kicks things off. That one at 7 o'clock this evening. Next game's kicking off at 10 o'clock tonight. So, as I said, plenty of football to look forward to, and none more so than the Premier League, where we've got an early kickoff in round about 10 minutes' time. It will be Southampton against Chelsea. Team news has just come through, Mark Archer.
Yeah, team news is just coming through. Let me bring you the update. Firstly, from Southampton, they make one change from last week's defeat at Arsenal as Jack Stevens is suspended following his red card. The Polish defender Jan Benerak comes in for his first Premier League start. McCarthy in goal, Hoot, Yoshida, Benerak across the back. It's a four-man midfield. Bertrand Højbjerg, Romu and Soares up the right. Ward-Prowse also playing high on the right field. Long up front and Tadic on the left. That's the Southampton lineup. Chelsea make two changes to their side, who drew with West Ham last time out. In goal for Chelsea, it's Thibaut Courtois. Of course, across the back, Christensen, Cahill and Apicuta. Left, right back?
Spelacuta.
Apicuta, yep. Across the midfield, Alonso, Kante, Fabregas and Zabacosta. Up front, Morata. On the left, Eden Hazard. And on the right, William.
Thanks so much indeed for that. So that's your team news. Let's hear from the managers now. Let's hear from Mark Hughes, the Southampton boss. He's been talking about his team and his squad, and also saying that if his team perform today, and they are at home, they can get a result against Chelsea.
The very next game that we have is the most important, because that's clearly the situation we're in. So we're not looking too far ahead, because we can't. And our sole focus and the sole body of the work that we've done this week is about going up against a good Chelsea team who will test us, but going up against them with a game plan that hopefully will get us a positive result.
That's the Southampton boss, Mark Hughes, new to the job as well. And his team are in a world of bother at the wrong end of the table. However, his opponent today ain't having it all his own way as well. All sorts of question marks around the future of Antonio Conte at Chelsea. Will he be there next year remains to be seen. They've missed out on Champions League football given the performance of Spurs this season, and Spurs with that emphatic victory against them a couple of weeks ago pretty much put pay to their European chances for next season. So, Antonio Conte, let's hear from him. Still under pressure, what can he expect to take away from this Southampton game today?
It's difficult, but at the same time, I think that we have to try to put all ourselves to get points, and then to see what happens in the end of the season. It's not simple. It will be very difficult to reduce this gap and to take a place in Champions League, but we must try. We must try to do this until the end of the season.
Southampton against Chelsea is your early kickoff in the Premier League. That one getting underway very shortly in the next 5 minutes or so. Any goals in that during the course of the show, you will be the first to know. Mark Archer's got some breaking news for us.
Yeah, breaking news coming out of the world of the world of English football. It's the PFA Player of the Year shortlist. So the players, the PFA has just named the 1, 2, 6 players in the shortlist to win that award. I think, as I said to Paul Espy, probably boils down to two, but they've named six. First Player of the Year shortlisted, Kevin De Bruyne from Manchester City, David Silva also from Manchester City, and Leroy Sané. So three Manchester City players there, I think justifiably so, in that top six. Mohamed Salah, the man that scored 39 goals this season, he's also in there. Harry Kane from Tottenham, he's had another good season. And I think the best goalkeeper in the Premier League, David De Gea, also features for Manchester United. So there are your six PFA Player of the Year shortlist.
Mo Salah gets it for me.
I would go for Kevin De Bruyne, and I'll tell you why. I think it should always be a player of the team that wins the league, and the player that makes the most influence on that team that wins the league should get the Player of the Year.
You've just been talking about there are no influential players at Manchester City. There are no stand-up players who are leading the team forward.
You didn't hear me during the week on Sports Tonight when I called Mo Salah a flat-track bully. I've been trolled incessantly since.
Right, okay. For me, obviously, I'm going to be biased and say Salah, but I think it's one that's a very difficult one there is David De Gea. I think he's just had an incredible season in what's been a pretty average Man United team, and he's just shone through as possibly the best goalkeeper in the world at the moment. So I think he's probably, for me, he's going to finish third. I think Sané will end up winning the Young Player Award, but yeah, for me, it's between Salah and De Bruyne.
I mean, thanks so much Salah to Zuhaib, just to read this one out before I get back to you, Mark Archer. So Man City needs a killer finisher. Aguero is too often injured, and in defence, company keeps coming in and out, which causes a lack of harmony at the back. They need to fix this. Midfield is the best, no doubt. That's just an opinion coming through from Zuhaib. Thank you.
There you go. I think it does boil down to two players. The Kevin De Bruyne versus Mo Salah. Mo Salah, you look at what he's done. He's scored 39 goals in 42 games. So he's a goal-a-game guy. So he, take his goals away from Liverpool, where would have they come this season? Probably not as well as they've done, and particularly in the Champions League. And then you look at what Kevin De Bruyne done. He does have a massive influence on that team. He does score goals, but he puts in so many assists. He puts guys into positions to score all the time. And you could probably mount a very good argument for both those guys.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, you know, it kind of makes me sound as if I'm not on his side because I want Salah to win. But I just think that in the three matches that he needed to be delivering, De Bruyne didn't really deliver.
Well, remember, he was rested for that Man United match. He only came on the second half. So that's a Pep Guardiola decision. He wanted to rest those guys for that midweek tie. And that's why Aguero only came on late. De Bruyne only came on the second half when I think Man United got back to 2-2 with 15-20 minutes to go. Then he brought on the big guns, but it was too late by that time. The momentum had switched.
Pep Guardiola facing FA a FIFA. Is it FIFA or UEFA? UEFA, isn't it? UEFA Champions League. Abuse charge for his performance at half time in front of the referee for that particular game. Is that fair? He didn't say anything untoward, did he? Or is it just the fact that he was threatening?
I don't think he should be getting any charges.
Told him to shut his mouth, by all accounts. That's what I heard.
It didn't seem that much. I mean, I'm guessing it was all in Spanish anyway because the referee was Spanish. But like I said before, I think the referee called some of the biggest decisions in that game wrongly. And, you know, he snapped. And I don't think he should have been sent to the stands. But, you know, I'm sure he'll just get a slap around the wrist, probably get like a £10,000 fine and boom.
It's interesting, isn't it, though? You talk about those decisions, and we're talking about, you know, the age of VAR and how it's been brought into certain competitions at the moment, not other competitions as well. Referees just shouldn't be getting these things wrong in this day and age, should they?
Well, VAR is not being used in Champions League, isn't it? And certainly that goal, the one that came off Milner, you know, that would have been given. And you go in at half-time, you're 2-0 down. I'm sorry, it would have been a different result. The momentum was completely with Man City there. And, you know, the referee and the lines judge, because if I'm not wrong, the line judge actually said it was okay, didn't he? It was the referee. So, I mean, we're talking about multi-million pound decisions here, and they're wrongly being made. And I just cannot agree with all these people saying that we shouldn't bring VAR technology into the game. I think Liverpool in the cup competition recently, they had it against them, and it went against their favour. So it's, you know, it goes both ways. But I think it's enhanced rugby, it's enhanced cricket, it's enhanced all the American sports. I don't know why it's not already in the game.
On the subject of big refereeing decisions, and this will be one for after the break, how about the penalty decision in the Real Madrid-Juventus match in 3 minutes into the game over?
Tom, I'm sure you've got something to say about that. If that happened anywhere else, everyone would have been saying, well, of course it's a penalty. Of course it's a free kick. But because of the nature of when it was, all of a sudden it's like questionable. He made the right call. End of story. There shouldn't even be a conversation.
Michael Oliver didn't make many friends, did he? Certainly over in Italy, that's for sure.
No, I think Mr. Buffon's not sending him a Christmas card this year.
No. Interesting talking points, a number of talking points, and talking points that we will get to in just a few moments' time. Plus, of course, we are conscious of the fact it's not just about the football today. There is plenty of sport taking place around the world. We'll turn our attention to the cricket straight after this.
Let's go!
This is The Grill, live from Barasti, with more sport, the latest headlines, and top debate on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Right, let's put in the picture of some of the big sports stories of the day. And I'm also down in China, where we are gearing up for a Grand Prix tomorrow, and it was Seb Vettel who snatched a last-gasp Chinese Grand Prix pole position from Ferrari teammate Kimi Raikkonen, as Lewis Hamilton again struggled in his Mercedes. Raikkonen was the quicker Ferrari going into the final runs, but a scrappy final sector and a superb one from Vettel gave the German pole by 0.087 seconds. Mercedes lap performance, Hamilton was 0.58 seconds off pole and fourth behind teammate Valtteri Bottas. Hamilton now must prevent losing more ground to Vettel in the championship. Mark Archer was watching this one a little earlier on today. Hamilton struggling again.
He is, yeah. But I tell you what, I look back and I watched the last 20 laps of the Bahrain Grand Prix last week, and what a great race it was. We often talk about how boring Formula One is if you're at the front of the grid and you win the race. But how much better is Formula One when Lewis Hamilton starts about 10th or 9th? Because he's got to overtake. There's drama, there's overtaking, there's all sorts of things happening. And last week's race in Bahrain had a little bit of everything. It had a last lap finish line straight finish basically with Bottas taking on Vettel holding him off for 10 laps with deteriorating tyres, having to change his strategy. You had Kimi Raikkonen running over and breaking the leg of one of his pit crew, couldn't get the wheel back on, so he was off the race. You had Hamilton starting in ninth, but then overtaking three cars at one stage on one corner, getting up to third, I think, in the end. It was just a dramatic race, and it had a bit of everything. It just had the drama that you want to see in motorsport. So, yeah, you know, Ferrari off to a flying start, a bit like they did last year when they put a lot of pressure on Mercedes, and then halfway through the season, particularly at the Singapore Grand Prix, the wheels literally fell off there, the Ferrari challenge, and they were nowhere to be seen. But I think it's good now that we've got Ferrari, A, the car's going well, the drivers are putting pressure on the Mercedes, and Red Bull's not too far behind. So it's made it a much more interesting, even though it's early in the season, race 3, I think, of 21 or 22 race season. It's good to see Ferrari have got their cars in good shape.
Back to Grand Prix in just a few moments' time, but it is a goal from the Scottish Cup where Motherwell have taken the lead. Charlie Mayne with the goal, the number 9 for Motherwell, scoring and just plodding in from in front of goal. So it is Motherwell 1, Aberdeen 0 in the Scottish Cup semi-final. Paul Espy, Grand Prix. I mean, I suppose from an observer's point of view, it's good to, from a neutral observer's point of view, it's good to see competition. You know, it's not the Hamilton and Mercedes dominance that we've been used to in recent years.
Yeah, the last two races, I mean, I even thought Australia was pretty impressive, but last week in Bahrain it was just an unbelievable performance. I think what Vettel did on those last 10 laps with the deteriorating tyres, which I didn't want to say, but I've got there, was just incredible. But were you not disappointed with Bottas? He just didn't seem to put up any kind of any challenge really at the end.
He had the faster car because he caught up, I think, almost 5 or 6 seconds over those last 10 laps, and he tried to get close enough to use the DRS in the straights, and he just didn't want to either put himself in a position where he might jeopardise a second place finish. It looks as though he's almost happy with second, and then leave it to fight another day. But obviously the Ferraris are showing a lot of speed. Let's have a quick listen to Seb Vettel and Kimi Raikkonen after qualifying 1 and 2 on the grid in China.
Over the years, traditionally, it's been a Mercedes circuit. So what does it say about Ferrari and the work you've made, particularly since testing, to improve the car on all substitutes?
No, bad news, I guess. It's good news. So it shows that, you know, we had some potential. We have some potential in the car, and if we can unleash it, obviously, and it's coming together, then, you know, it feels good. Obviously, if you find the sweet spot wherever you are in the field, it helps you to enhance your performance. I think that's probably what happened today. I don't know if the others struggled to get their tires to work, but for us was pretty straightforward, and the feeling was good throughout the whole lap. That makes quite a big difference. But as you said, it's usually a Mercedes track for the last 6 years going, so it's good to break their run, and hopefully we can continue to do so tomorrow and then after that. But first of all, we focus on the start tomorrow, and after that I expect a tight race.
No, I think we've been pretty okay all the races this year. Obviously, first race, you purely looked the lap times, but then it's the first race of the year, and you know, a lot of things to learn still. So I think we've just been finding more out of the car, just learning more about it. And yeah, it's a slightly different circuit than many others, but I mean, if the car works somewhere, should work everywhere. So I think we've been pretty consistent, pretty happy with things. Obviously, always things to improve a bit here and there, but it's a normal thing and never ending. But yeah, it's been good here. So
that's Kimi Räikkönen talking about finishing second on the grid. His teammate in the Ferrari, Seb Vettel, has finished on pole for the Chinese Grand Prix. Lewis Hamilton wasn't feeling too optimistic about the race in China tomorrow. He's not too positive at all because he's going to start back and forth.
I'm not really sure. I mean, the car felt okay, but I don't really have the answer for it.
But reasons for optimism for tomorrow in terms of your race pace, and it is one of the better tracks on which to overtake.
Yeah, I think it's like in the top three of the easier ones to overtake. So I think the Delta's generally a second, but the Ferraris are too fast on the straight, so it'll be interesting. But it's a lot hotter tomorrow, so it will be a challenge to see whether or not we can keep up with them.
And you said pretty consistently since testing that Ferrari are a big threat and bigger than perhaps people suggested to begin with. You've also said that you can't drop any more points as Sebastian, but tomorrow you can hope for that you can challenge.
Yeah, I think it's, I don't know if we can challenge. We're half second behind today, so honestly I can't tell you if we can challenge. We're quicker in the race than the last race, but they were able to hold on. They'll probably do the same tomorrow.
We're talking about the fact that Pep Guardiola doesn't like losing, nor does Lewis Hamilton, does he?
I mean, he's got the fastest car. He's got one of the most well-funded teams. He's got a great team behind him. If he's not in pole position setting the fastest qualifying times, if he's not on the podium, if he's not winning races, he's a bit of a sourpuss, isn't he?
Just watching him when he finishes second or third in the post-match interviews, and when they immediately come off and they get weighed, he's like a spoilt brat. He's terrible. Just grumps around, doesn't speak to anybody. You know, everybody else is quite happy, and even Räikkönen gets a smile in there on the odd occasion. But
and he's just run over his pit crew.
But you know, Hamilton, just for me, I'm a fan. I mean, gosh, he's a British guy, but my goodness, you just want to slap him sometimes and say, smile. You know, you're still in the game. You've got 19 races to go. Come on, this happened last year, and you had less points.
One thing we've got to credit for, you mentioned watching back on that Bahrain Grand Prix from last weekend. Our man Chris McCarthy was down there as well, and one of the manoeuvres that Hamilton pulled off on that, his corner manoeuvre when he went past three cars in one manoeuvre, has gone down as one of the greatest passing moves of Formula One history in recent times as well. So he's still got it, and he's still got the car. It's just everything doesn't seem to be clicking at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, if he'd have done that pass against maybe, you know, a Red Bull and two Ferraris, it would have been the greatest of all time, but it wasn't right, against those guys. But yeah, I mean, it was such an amazing move. I mean, I had my hands over my face at that point. I thought there was going to be an inevitable crash at the corner, but no, it was a brilliant move. But like I say, I mean, you know, Formula One right now is seemingly a little bit more exciting than it ever has been. I wanted to mention the French guy, Gasly, I think his name is, that finished fourth in the McLaren. You know, it was the Honda. It's the Honda-powered Force India car, yeah? And yeah, we're all looking quizzingly about that one. But it was a Honda-powered car, and obviously after all the trouble that Alonso had last year, it was good to see that the Honda are hopefully starting to fight back.
Good news for Motherwell fans out there. Scottish Cup semi-final underway. Early kickoff in Scotland, and Motherwell have doubled their lead in as many minutes as well. Goal for Curtis Main on the 20th minute, and a goal for Ryan Bowman of Motherwell on the 22nd minute as well. Motherwell lead Aberdeen by 2-0 with what, just over half an hour gone in that one. So keep an eye on that one for you throughout the afternoon. We're going to talk, I promise you that we'll talk cricket, so we will talk cricket in a few minutes' time. We'll take a short break now. When we come back, we will address the cricket.
This is The Grill. Get involved with Dubai Eye on Facebook.
You're listening to The Grill. We're broadcasting live from Barasti up here on the rooftop garden. Beautiful afternoon, lovely breeze coming across as well. All sorts of construction going on up here at the moment. Every time Arch and I come up here, something's changed. Our landscape, our vision has changed.
Well, there was water. There was a harbour here about 2 weeks ago, wasn't there? And now there's a massive reclaimed landfill that is going to be something spectacular, I feel, in the next 12 months, Tom.
Indeed it is. Yeah, all change up here on the waterfront, that's for sure. Do come on down and see the changes for yourself. Get yourself down to Barasti, where, of course, you can watch live sport, and there is sport aplenty being played around the world. And I'm also over in India, where the cricket is ongoing at the moment. Let's get the latest from the IPL. What's happening today?
Yeah, it's doubleheader Saturday. Two matches. First match is underway at Wankhede Stadium. It's the Mumbai Indians, the defending champions, hosting the Delhi Daredevils. And no team will want to start the IPL with three consecutive losses, which will happen for one of those two teams today. The Lake match is also at Eden Gardens, Calcutta. It's the Calcutta Knight Riders facing Sunrisers Hyderabad. There was a result to bring you from last night. RCB, the Royal Challengers Bangalore. They defeated Kings 11 Punjab by 4 wickets. A great display by the RCB all-rounder Washington Sander. This is what he said after the match.
Yeah, as a spinner, you need to be open to bowling different scenarios. So I think our fast bowlers bowled a lot in the first 6 overs. I think the wicket was good. It was 165 to 170 runs wicket. And I think we bowled well. Umesh Yadav's second over was pretty crucial for us. It was a good game of cricket, and it was a very competitive wicket as well. We've got such good openers, to be honest. Quinton and Brendan, they can change the game in the first 6 overs as well. So, but then, Virat Bhai can play anywhere. He definitely can open if needed for the team. But yeah, so far I think we've got very good opening pair. Yeah, I just wanted to keep things simple and keep things tight. Didn't really want to try too many things. The ground is also pretty small, and didn't want to try a lot of things. I just wanted to keep hitting the deck and keep things tight. And yeah, I ended up getting 2 wickets. That is all.
That was Washington Sander, the Royal Challengers Bangalore all-rounder. They had a win last night in the IPL. They defeated Kings 11 Punjab by 4 wickets. The action today is that doubleheader. They're underway early in the early match at Wankhede Stadium. It's Mumbai Indians hosting Delhi Daredevils. The trend at the moment, Tom, in the IPL is whoever wins the toss wants to field first, because there seem to be lots of wins by teams chasing runs in the second innings, which wasn't the normal way things happened in limited over cricket. So Delhi Daredevils won the toss. They've elected to field first, but Mumbai off to a pretty sharp start, 167 for 3 after 16 of their 20 overs. So they're off to a flying start. Sharma's at the crease, 13 not out. Let's just have a listen to the preview of this match, our friends at Cricinfo, breaking down the two teams, Mumbai Indians and the Delhi Daredevils.
Match number 9 of IPL 2018 is a significant one, because no team wants 3 defeats to start their campaign. And that's what's on the line when Mumbai Indians take on Delhi Daredevils at the early kickoff on Saturday at Wankhede Stadium. With me on ESPN Cricket Info Match Day on Order, James Faulkner, Deep Das Gupta. Delhi, a little unfortunate or unlucky, you could say, after that rain-affected game against Rajasthan. But losing 3 is a big... Now we can start worrying for teams, don't we, Jimmy?
Yeah, definitely. Both teams don't want to lose this one and go 3-0 to start their campaign in the tournament, but I'm expecting Delhi to bounce back here. Obviously things are going to change after the 6 over fixture. Maxwell probably won't open, and the skipper will go back up the top.
I'll come to that in more detail in a bit, but are Mumbai used to this?
I think so, yeah. Not just Mumbai, I think Mumbai supporters and even, all of us.
Yeah.
We're kind of used to this. So, yeah, three back-to-back losses are huge, but when it comes to Mumbai, you still kind of expect them to bounce back after that.
That's the thing, right? You always give Mumbai a chance
to
play, in spite of that tight game against Hyderabad, away a one-wicket win. Let's look at the team that our experts have picked, the playing 11 for the Mumbai Indians first. It's a big one because Hardik Pandya missed out the last game. If he is fit, obviously, Deep Das Gupta says he comes in for Pradeep Sangwan. But the change that they made, Deep, in the last game was they brought in Ben Cutting to probably substitute for all-round
right.
abilities. Didn't have the greatest game, did Cutting.
Yeah, I mean, that's the tricky part. I mean, obviously, if Hardik is available and is fit, obviously he comes in. But obviously, you made 2 changes because Hardik wasn't available. So you could get McLenahan back in. But again, you're talking about changes in 2 games. So 1 game each for Cutting and McLenahan.
I don't know if you picked that, but Lewis and Kishan to open with Rohit at 3, or would you stick with Rohit at the top? Even their batting effectively has let them down in 2 games.
Exactly. I mean, what I would actually speak to Rohit first before asking him to bat in number 3, because I know he likes bat right at the top. But, you know, he needs to give himself some time. The last couple of games, the way he batted, it seemed like he wants to, hit a 6 off every delivery.
Sure.
So, I mean, I would ideally like him to kind of settle down, take his own time, because there are a lot of power hitters around him as well.
Yeah.
And we've mentioned this before, if he survives the first six overs, then it doesn't really matter. I mean, field restriction doesn't matter for Rohit.
Okay, big game for the Delhi Daredevils too. Let's have a look at Jimmy Faulkner's team for the Daredevils. And Glenn Maxwell returned. He wasn't expecting a six-over chase when he was promoted up top. So I wonder where you think he'll bat, Jimmy, because Colin Munro and Gautam Gambhir are the preferred or likely pair. But would you put Maxwell up? Otherwise, I don't see changes round up. They did drop Amit Mishra from the last game and play Shahbaz Nadeem. So it's interesting if you go for two leg spinners with the one kid. Thoughts, Jimmy?
Yeah, I think the same team. It's obviously after the six-over game, the skipper Gambhir is going to go back up to the top. And I think Maxwell will sort of float, depending on how their start is. So, it's hard to gauge after the last game, only being six overs. Mickey Mouse sort of cricket it was, really.
Yeah. So, favourites for this one, prediction? Now that we've seen two games, we know who looks the better team.
Well, it's difficult, actually. I think both the games, I mean, for both the sides, the games were pretty tight, be it DD or Mumbai Indians. So I'm going to sit on the fence for this one.
Oh, God. Jimmy, give me a team.
You've been sitting on the fence all the time, haven't you?
Just give me a name.
Delhi.
Has been a goal in the Premier League. Early kickoff between Southampton and Chelsea. It is very sunny on the south coast, but which way is the goal gone? Mark Archer.
It's gone to the home team, Southampton, and it's Tadic that scored after 21 minutes. A calm finish with the left foot. He strokes it in just outside the 5-yard box. A great run up the left-hand side, and he just basically calmly finished it past Thibaut Courtois. A win today for Southampton will take them out of the bottom three. It's a massive win for them. You'd think that Chelsea aren't actually playing for much at the moment, and it might be a real sort of banana skin match for them. But that might be more. This match might mean a little bit more for Southampton. But they've started well. They're 1-0 up. 23 minutes gone.
I must pop downstairs to see if the Southampton supporters club are downstairs.
Matt Letizia was here last week.
Sunday, yeah. Isn't he? Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. Could have come in day earlier and joined us.
Yeah,
there we are. Listen, let's get back to the cricket, because we've been talking IPL. You're just hearing there from colleagues over at Crick Info giving their thoughts on the games today as well. We're a week into the IPL, this year's latest version of the IPL, return of some of those teams that were out serving bans, amongst others. Standout performances for you, Mark Archer, within the first week?
Oh, tough to get it. I think the team that started really well, Sunrisers Hyderabad, looked like a really strong unit. It's good to see the two teams that have been missing for the last 2 years. Chennai have matches back in Chennai, albeit it's just been overturned. They're going to have to play matches out of Chennai now because the crowd didn't behave very well during the week. It's good to see the Chennai franchise back in. The Rajasthan Royals franchise is now back in the competition as well. They had a tough start to their campaign. But Chennai always look like a professional outfit. Lots of continuity there for years gone by. I think they've won the competition twice. They're always there or thereabouts, come the top four. Well captained by MS Dhoni. They're well coached by Stephen Fleming. They have a lot of sort of guys that have played in that same franchise for a number of years. They seem to have a good system there. So Chennai are looking good. Interesting to see that we talked about this match today, Mumbai taking on Delhi Daredevils. Both teams have lost their first two matches. So we know that Mumbai do tend to get stronger throughout the competition, but neither of these two teams will want to lose their third consecutive match at the start of the competition. So it's set up to win. We're obviously missing the high-profile Aussies. There's no Steve Smith, no David Warner, but that doesn't seem to stop the juggernaut that is the IPL. So lots of good performances coming in by player yet, but most teams have only just played two matches. So let's wait and see. Let's give another week to see who are the standout players in this year's IPL.
Must also mention the County Championship, because that is back. We had the University Games last week. Now we're into the first week of Championship Games. Kent are playing Gloucester at the moment. Middlesex are in action against Northampton. And Warwickshire are playing Sussex. And I think it's Warwickshire who have just signed Jeetan Patel, haven't they? So he's come in. Still playing for New Zealand or ex-New Zealand?
No, he hasn't played much, but no, he's been there a number of years actually as one of their overseas players. So
he signed a new contract. Sorry, yeah, yeah. New contract, which takes him through till end of next season, I think it is. So
he's had a good record actually in county cricket. Bowling as off-spin, he's sort of a handy tail-end batsman. It's Jeetan Patel.
Regarded as one of the best overseas player the county championship has seen. Why? Well, the figures stand out. Patel has taken 353 wickets in 96 first-class matches for Warwickshire, an average of 26.5, including 17 five-wicket hauls. So useful man to have on the books for the Bears, and they, as I said, for re-signed Jeetan Patel. And one other piece of cricket news throughout the week, one that caught my eye, and I don't know if it caught your eye, obviously indicative of the rise of the women's game and the importance of the women's game globally as well. First time that Wisden's Players of the Year featured three female names in the Cricket and the Player of the Year awards.
Yeah, great news. We've seen a lot of emphasis put on by the ICC and also the boards around the world on the importance of women's cricket, and a couple of players have been rewarded rightly by the almanac that is Wisden, that's been around for hundreds of years, by honouring the ladies. As three of them have been named as the five players of the year, or players to watch, or however they categorise it. So well done to the ladies there, and well done to Wisden magazine, or Wisden almanac, for acknowledging the lady cricketers, the woman cricketers.
Just a quick one for the from the Lancashire game, which is ongoing at the moment. Haseeb Hameed, who's been talking midweek about him targeting a recall to the England squad, or the England team. Well, he hasn't done himself many favours today, because he's gone early doors for Lancashire. They're playing Nottinghamshire at the moment. He's out for three. So let's have a little look at see where they are at the moment. 59 for three. Liam Livingstone, the man to go as well. He's just been picked up by Chris Wood. So 59 for three, the latest score from that one. And good news from Canterbury as well, where the delayed start looks like covers are coming off down there. So Kent against Gloucestershire about to get underway. It's day two of that particular game. You're listening to The Grail, broadcasting live from Brest, where the game is always on. Question for both of you fellas. We're watching Southampton against Chelsea at the moment, early kickoff in the Premier League. We're building up to Palace against Brighton. We're going to hear from Adam Bridge, not in the next hour, but in the final hour of the show ahead of our 6 o'clock kickoff. It's billed as a derby. Now, I know geography is not my strongest point, but Crystal Palace, to my mind, is a South East London team. Brighton is on the south coast. There are quite a few miles separating the two. So how on earth can it be a derby?
It's like the Liverpool-Manchester United, isn't it? They consider that a derby. I think it's pretty much equidistant, maybe a little bit longer to go to Brighton. But I'm with you. There's a massive hatred, isn't it, between the two teams, isn't there? Isn't it based around Brighton were using Crystal Palace, or the other way around at some point?
I don't know.
The ground.
I'll need to look into this.
The two teams absolutely despise each other.
Really?
For some reason. Yeah.
Oh, so there's no love lost between them.
No, it's a big hatred. I think it's very sort of Wimbledon, Milton Keynes type thing.
Well, it's a question we must put to Adam Bridge a little later on as well. How do you define a derby these days? Anyway, that's your feature game at 6 o'clock live here on Dubai. I want a 3.8. You get that unbridled coverage of that one from 6 o'clock. And we've got a doubleheader a little later on. Liverpool against Bournemouth will be live for you from 8:30. And then Spurs against City is an added bonus as well. That one off at 10:45.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.